Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series on Radio Sai, where we are delighted to offer you beautiful, delectable compositions of Sai Bhajans, which used to be sung in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan in the yesteryears, in the 60s and 70s. And today, we have a beautiful one, adoring our Lord, our beloved Bhagwan, as a Guru. We adore Him as Shiva Guru. We adore Him as Guru Natha. We adore Him as the eternal protector. So this is the first line of the bhajan.
Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha.
It's a beautiful bhajan. We will learn all the lyrics of the bhajan. Then we'll move on to the tune. We'll move on to the raga. We'll talk about the beat. And then we will take up every word that makes this bhajan and discuss what it conveys to us, how we can connect to Bhagwan through this bhajan. So let's get started. Here are the lyrics to begin with.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha, Parti Purisha, Hare Paramesha, Parama Dayala, Pahi Mahesha, Jaya Jaya, Satya Saisha.
Now that you know the lyrics, so here is the tune. Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan flows. No musical instruments, just the tune. Focus on how this bhajan beautifully meanders through the different notes and produces such a lovely tune.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Parti Purisha Hare Paramesha.
Parti Purisha Hare Paramesha.
Parti Purisha Hare Paramesha.
Parti Purisha Hare Paramesha.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Jaya Gurunatha, Shiva Gurunatha.
Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha.
Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha.
Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha.
Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha.
Jaya Jaya Satya Saisha.
Jaya Jaya Satya Saisha.
Jaya Jaya Satya Saisha.
Jaya Jaya Satya Saisha.
Jaya Gurunatha.
ಶಿವಗುರುನಾಥ.
So that's a very beautiful melody, adoring Bhagwan as Shiva, as Guru, as Pratipurisha. Rarely you have bhajans where you adore Bhagwan as Shiva as well as Guru. Not only are the lines very different, even the tune is so sweet and so beautiful. Brother Srinivasulu revived this bhajan for us from the yesteryears, and you had Brother Anirudh singing along with him. And now let us learn a little more about the technical structure of this bhajan. Brother Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the raga of this bhajan?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
As you were saying, that such a very simple bhajan, but the tune makes it more beautiful and lively. I totally agree with that. This beautiful tune is actually based on rag Shankaravaranam, I can say, or Bilawal you call it in the Hindustani classical music, because it's all very light shuddha notes. Ni sa ni shuddhani sare shuddri ga shuddga ma pa da shuddha ni sa ni da pa ma ga Of course, many Sai bhajans have Bilawal as a basic root raga, and according to the mood of the composer, the feel of the composition, and the beauty lies in just one or two lines going here and there, adding a tivrama, something like So, of course, there are so many ragas in the Hindustani classical music where both the maas are used, and there are family of many yamans, kalyanis, Amir Kalyan and other many ragas. But when you look at the bhajan, if you see that all the other lines are actually almost shuddh Bilawal kind of notes, whereas one line just, you know, you add a tivrama note and it just, so maybe I cannot call it like it belongs to one particular raga, but I can take this as based on Shankaravaranam kind of Bilawal. And maybe when we do the swaras, we'll know which line exactly has the tivrama or any other note which is attached to this raga.
I think that happens with many Bilawal bhajans.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, something like, for example,
Durga Bhavani Ma Jaya Jaya Sai Ma.
It sounds like a very Bilawal,
yes,
kind of bhajan.
Simple.
Kali Kapalini Ma.
So the second line, the starts with the tivrama, which is a yaman kind of a feel.
Kali Kapalini Ma Jaya Jaya Sai Ma.
And then the third line has one more note, shuddhini.
Paramashivani Ma.
So the bhajans are actually unique in that aspect. Yes. As if you see very technically, you call it in the Carnatic classical music as a raga malika, where you have various compositions, kritis. Each stanza will be set to different ragas. But our bhajans are like...
Every bhajan is set to different.
Yeah, it's a different raga. Because I think that's how the feel is obtained.
Absolutely.
And that's what Swami...
Because you're not so particular about the technical purity. You're more interested in conveying your pure feelings. The bhava purity is what is
correct,
more important here.
Absolutely. That's why, in fact, I also feel, if you see too technically, there are some variations, or the second time when we sing the same line with a different curve or variation, that curve may be absolutely out of the raga.
Yes.
It may go into that ga or shuddh ga or a komal ga,
yes,
or a ma, but it doesn't matter, because the feel what it gives by singing that variation.
Absolutely. I think maybe depending on the lyric of the line, depending on the mood of that
exactly
line, you know, if you have to do the deviation, and if it really helps to connect
exactly
more deeply because of that slight deviation, you just do it. Yes.
Yeah, maybe I can show in an example the same bhajan, Durga Bhavani Ma, if you take the third line.
Paramashivani Ma.
Yes.
So that's a totally different note altogether, which is ni sa ni sa ni. So if I see too technically wise, it is kind of going off the Bilawal, off the Yaman. So yes, it is going to something like Hari Kamboji. It's like I may have to name so many ragas and then this is taken from this and that. So what I'm trying to say is Paramashiva, if I have to stick to the raga.
Yes.
This is how it will sound.
Paramashivani ma.
It sounds something.
Yes.
It's a little off.
Paramashivani ma.
That makes it totally in the boundaries of the raga with raga. The shuddhini.
Yes.
But if you see the feel.
Paramashivani ma.
Yes.
That gives a total connect.
Yes.
To the whole bhajan. It really lifts the bhajan.
Absolutely.
So that's where it's the mix of ragas, the mix of notes are completely allowed in the Sai bhajans.
Yes.
And that's the beauty and the peculiarity of Sai bhajans.
Yes. I think that unpredictability
yeah,
is typical of Bhagwan.
Exactly. In fact,
and that is the beauty of the avatar and the beauty of the Sai bhajans.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As we are seeing, unpredictability, as also getting like some kind of surprise notes.
Mm.
You won't know that the next line, this is going to be the feel of the...
I think that also is a challenge for the harmonium players, you know. You will probably think that, you know, this bhajan falls in this raga, but you have to be really alert to
what
is coming.
So always, that's what, from the beginning of this episode series... Bhajan Tutor series, we always say that this bhajan is based on,
yes,
or kind of mostly based on,
yes,
this raga, where we don't say that this is totally set unless you have pure such bhajans, Mohanam, Mohanam, Yaman, there are some bhajans.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think and that is the reason why the Sai bhajans, they are a completely different genre of music.
Yeah.
Altogether.
That's what makes it unique. And one more thing I want to add is that many people come to me and ask, brother, this bhajan, which raga, second line it goes to which raga, there that Tivanuma is coming and then it goes to other raga. And this, yeah, to some extent, a technical discussion is okay to know the, suppose like you're accompanying a singer.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to know that, you know, he is going exactly to the Tivanuma.
Yes.
If you give a wrong note of other ma,
yes,
when that singer is going Tivanuma, it would become really... it would confuse the singer and it is something which is not expected. But to those people who just want to get amazed by that, you know, that raga, this is how, oh, this goes to next raga, that goes to this raga. So I kind of say to them that raga level discussion is, to one extent it takes you. I mean, musically you will be more knowing about, okay, this is... this bhajan belongs to this raga, these are all the ragas. But to go one step further, we may have to go beyond the raga.
Yes.
And that's what Swami stresses more on, to go beyond raga and tala, to go to the bhava, which is the most important. So be it any raga, be it any tala, but if you sing with pure feelings from the heart, I think that will win the grace of the Lord.
Yes. And I think... once the focus also is on the bhava, I think the raga falls into place on its own.
Yeah.
Many times, absolutely, you know, I think there are so many, and which is true for all our brothers and sisters who lead bhajans. They have no knowledge of music, but, you know, they just sing because you want to offer the music to Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And in that process, you know, it just emerges. You have no knowledge whether it is Mohanam or whether it is Bilawal.
Correct.
But you just sing. Yeah, probably... because you want to convey an emotion, you do a particular variation in the tune.
Correct,
and, you
correct.
Know, many people connect with it and that becomes a standard variation.
Right.
I think that's how it has emerged.
Everyone
was trying to only see how they can connect. That is how the bhajan movement, I think, is. And that is how it has grown also over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, but we cannot discard the technicality. I think it definitely helps to know about it. So it's
for a practice point of view.
Yes.
Whether it's for a harmonium or a singer.
Yes.
It's really essential.
Yes.
And it really helps a lot to have this exercise of swaras.
Yes.
And because tomorrow when we lead in many Sai centers.
Yes.
As we should be... following Swami's guidelines.
Yes.
When we really lead bhajans in a big Sai center,
yes,
that time the raga, tala and all comes to picture.
Yes.
Because Swami says
yes.
that even one person sings with pure feelings, with lot of bhava in that bhajan session, Swami showers the grace on everybody in that
yes.
session.
Yes.
So to sing with such pure feelings, I think it, as you said, it goes automatically through that process of raga and tala, and we
yes.
we will be that's what the Prashanti Mandir bhajans and the setup, the auditions, the
yes.
the practice sessions, everything is there in the system.
So one is for practice and second is standardization, I would think.
Yeah.
So that, you know, every bhajan does not have too many tunes.
Correct, correct.
And we have a basic structure of the bhajan, and, you know, of
yeah.
course the singer can sing it the way he wants, slightly depending on how he wants to connect. But by and large, this is sort of the standard tune of the bhajan.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go to the standard tune of Jai Guru Natha.
Yeah. So let's have the swaras which support this tune. The first line.
जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ निसरि रे ग रे ग म ग रे रे ग स नि सा सा निसरि रे ग रे ग म ग रे रे ग स नि सा सा परते पुरेश हरे परमेश नी नी सनी द प प द प म प द नी नी सा नी नी सनी द प प द प म प द नी नी सा जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ निसरि रे ग रे ग म ग रे रे ग स नि सा सा निसरि रे ग रे ग म ग रे रे ग स नि सा सा परम दयाला पाहि महेशा गम पद पद सद प प प म ग म म प गम पद पद सद प प प म ग म म प जय जय सत्य साईशा निसरि रे रे ग रे ग म द म ग रे स ग रे ग स रे नि निसरि रे रे ग रे ग म द म ग रे स ग रे ग स रे नि
इट्स सच ए ब्यूटीफुल लाइन इजंट इट
एब्सोल्युटली
जय
साईशा
या
Yes.
जय जय सत्य साईशा
It gives a more a feeling of a lullaby.
Yes.
Very soothing and
yes,
lovely.
Very soft, yeah. Da, da. Reminded of again. Koi bole
hare hare.
Yeah. So it's also, I can say, it's like a mix of many ragas like Desh,
yeah.
Bilawal,
yeah.
Yaman.
Mm.
It's also a very soothing tune.
Yes. And I think other bhajan that comes to your mind as you sing this bhajan is
Anandara Anandasham Narayana Hari Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana Shiva Shiva Shankara Hara Parameshwara.
It also has that kind of a very soothing feeling.
Bala Gangadhar Sai Ramachandra Shri Ram Krishna Govinda Narayana Keshava Rama 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 Sita Ramachandra Paima राम कृष्ण गोविंद हरे पाहि मा Jaya Jaya Satya Sai Sha.
That kind of
Magar.
Yes. Beautiful.
Standing on this maga is very soothing.
Yes.
That's why our, even the national anthem, it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Janagana Mana, the tune, if you see the Bilawal, it's so beautifully composed.
Mm. Absolutely. Stability.
Yeah.
Is very important.
Stability is important. Also, the breath.
Breath, yeah.
Especially for the last line, because it starts on beat like
Jaya Jaya Satya Sai Sha.
So that's the end. Till that, you need to have a good breath.
To sustain, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, what might happen is you might take a break.
Jaya Jaya Satya Sa.
That Satya Sai Sha. That will become really hurried up, and the beauty is lost.
Yes.
As you said, the stability and the slow, calm notes.
Yes.
Is important in this version.
It should just flow seamlessly.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Absolutely.
So let's do the beat.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is the regular 8 beat, Aditalam or Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha. Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha. Pratipure Shahare Paramesha. Pratipure Shahare Paramesha. Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha. Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha.
Really grateful to Swami for blessing us with yet another beautiful melody to connect with Him. And we hope the listeners also delight in this bhajan and practice and enjoy the bliss of offering it at His lotus feet. Thank you so much, Brother Anirudh, for being with us during this session.
Thank you, Vishu. As we could offer a nice vintage Guru bhajan for this Guru Purnima.
Yes.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we are now done with the technicalities of this bhajan, and it is time now to focus on that most important aspect of bhajan singing. We have to understand what we are singing. Only when we understand what we are singing can we put our heart and soul into it. So let's take every word of this line and dwell on its significance. We begin with the first line.
Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha.
As I hear this line, what comes to me is a very beautiful episode from one of the Lord's greatest devotees. How His life turned from dust to diamond once, just once, when Shiva appeared to him as a guru. This happened in the 9th century, 25 kilometers to the northeast of the city of Madurai in the state of Tamil Nadu in India, is the place Tiruvadavur. Tiru means sacred, and this place has this special name because religious scholars from different regions used to assemble here and discuss about religion and spirituality. In fact, originally it was called Vedapuri, and that got concocted to Vadapuri, and then slowly with time Vadapuri became Vadavur, and finally it is known now Tiruvadavur. And this is the birthplace of the great gem of a devotee, Saint Manikyavasagar. He was originally called Vadavurar, which means one who belongs to Vadavur. Right from his childhood, he was known to be a very disciplined child. He learned his subjects well, and there was something about him that won him the love and respect of everyone around. He was highly intelligent, no doubt. But more importantly, there was something about the way he conducted himself. There was something about the way he handled situations. There was something about the way his heart functioned. His great ability and integrity took him to places, and one day, the king of that region, the Pandya king of the area, Harimardhan Pandya, called him, and as he spoke to him and as he asked him to do a few things and the way he executed the task, the king was so impressed with his character that he immediately made him his prime minister. In fact, there is the story of Manikya Vasagar that Swami himself has narrated. Once he was on a journey and he was walking and it became dark and there was no place to stay. This probably happened before he became the prime minister. This shows the character of Saint Manikya Vasagar, the saint to be. And so as he was walking, it started pouring and it was an alien place. He didn't know what to do. He saw this small portico of a house and the people of the house were sleeping inside. So he went there and he stretched himself on the portico. He thought he would take some rest as there was no way he could proceed because of the rain. After a while, he heard a sound. So he woke up. And there he saw another person running for shelter. And so Vadavurar called out to this person. He said, "Where are you going? Why don't you come here? Why are you getting wet?" But the other person hesitated because there was no space left in the portico. Vadavurar was sleeping there and there's hardly any place for anyone else to get accommodated there. But Vadavurar says, "Don't worry, you please come. Don't have that hesitation. Come. There is enough place here for one person to sleep, but there is also enough place for two people to sit. So we will adjust. Please come." And so both of them sit together and they chant the Lord's name. And now, as they spend the night, after a while, Vadavurar sees another person similarly running to find some roof to protect himself from the downpour. And so Vadavurar calls him. And this person again is reluctant to come because there's hardly any space left there for another person to fit into the portico. So he keeps running and Vadavurar calls him, "No, no, please come. Don't be hesitant. Please come. See, there is enough space here for two people to sit, but there is exactly enough space for three people to stand too. So please come. We will adjust." And that is how all three of them stood there and in the warmth of affection of each other, spent the time till the rain subsided. That is a glimpse of the character of Vadavurar. No wonder when the king came to know about him, he made him instantly his prime minister. And thanks to his talent, he did every task assigned by the king with such tact and integrity that the king always trusted him whenever it came to any important assignment. So one day the king calls him and he says that there are some Arab merchants who have come to a town called Tiruparandurai. It's about 100 kilometers from Tiruvadavur. And the king said that all these Arab merchants, they have excellent horses. Can you please go there and select a few good horses for me? Whatever you select is perfect with me. And so Vadavurar begins on this mission, and this is something which is like a godsend opportunity for him, because even though Vadavurar had everything in his life, he was loved by the king, he was given a lot of gifts by the king, he had everything that money could buy, he had power, he had land, he had position, but somehow there was always an emptiness. He always felt that he needs something else. He was searching for something which will make his heart complete. He knew that this is something that the world of money and land and power cannot give him. Somehow, the material rewards of the king did not interest him. But now, this mission, he took it up with both his hands, with a lot of happiness, because he had now an opportunity to go out of the kingdom and travel. And once he travels, he thought, he will now see many places. He will probably visit many temples on the way. He will probably see many more holy people on the way. And maybe he will find a person who can guide him. Maybe there'll be someone who can take him to his destination. Maybe there'll be someone who can make him feel complete. So this was a huge blessing in disguise for him. And he went about his mission with a lot of happiness, a lot of enthusiasm. And every moment during this journey, he was only thinking of Shiva. How to attain Shiva, how to experience the presence of Shiva, and with those holy thoughts, he stopped at every temple on the way, looking all the time, searching, and finally he reached Tiruparandurai. And in Tiruparandurai there is a small temple dedicated to Lord Shiva. And now the story goes that even before Vadavura reached the temple, Shiva had already assumed the form of a teacher, of a guru, and he was living there teaching poor children and looking after the welfare of these little ones. So Lord Shiva, in the guise of that endearing Guruji, he used to look after all these little children. He used to eat with them. He used to visit their houses. Apparently, he used to go to one student's house each day and eat whatever they offered. So all the children loved to be with this Guruji. The Guruji spent all his time playing with his children, teaching them, being in their company. And that is how it has been going on for weeks. And all the people there in the village had seen this beautiful Guruji. They were so happy that this Guruji is there in the village, because he had transformed this entire area. There was so much of energy, so much of happiness, there's so much of joy when the kids of a village are in joy, when they are healthy, when they are happy, when they are doing merry, everyone is happy. The village vibrates with unbounded joy, and that was what it was in Tiruparandurai. And now Vadavura reached the temple, and once he reached the Shiva temple, he went around the Shiva temple, he was circumambulating the shrine, and as he was doing this, his eyes fell on this Guruji sitting under the tree and teaching to his disciples. On that day, there were a lot of sannyasis too, a lot of ascetics who were also around along with his children. But the moment Vadavura saw this Guruji, the moment he had this darshan of Shiva in disguise here, something happened to him. Nobody told him anything, but he just dropped everything and he ran to this teacher and he just fell at his feet and raised both his hands and in absolute submission, just surrender at the feet of the master that he had found. Nobody needed to tell him who he is. But he was so tuned to Shiva, thinking so much about him, so intensely and so incessantly, that when he saw Shiva, even though Shiva was in disguise, he just knew that here is my destination. So he just unconditionally fell at the feet of Shiva. He had found fulfillment in his life, and in fact he just gave himself away completely to him. He immediately literally removed his regal clothes and he just placed everything at the feet of Shiva and pleaded with him to accept him as his disciple. And that is when most lovingly Shiva lifted him up and lovingly looked at him. One sweet glance of Lord Shiva fell on Vadavura, and that one glance changed his life forever. In that one glance, Lord Shiva granted him Jnanopadesha. He imparted and instilled into him the knowledge of the highest wisdom. And in that one deep moment, such a metamorphosis of his being happened that immediately Vadavura started singing in praise of Lord Shiva. Beautiful verses just emerged from him spontaneously, seamlessly, and everything that came out of his lips was so profoundly priceless. Each one was so beautiful. Each one was like a gem. Each one was resplendent with eloquence and devotion. And when Shiva heard these verses, he said, "Everything that is coming out of you is a manikyam, is a gem, and hence you shall be called as Manikya Vasakar, the one who is filled with these gems of wisdom." That is how Vadavura became Manikya Vasakar. To make Vadavura Manikya Vasakar, Lord Shiva became Shiva Guru. The great Lord became a guru because his disciple was looking for a guru. Swami says, guru is gunatita and rupavarjita. Gunatita, beyond all attributes, and rupavarjita, he is beyond all forms. But this formless and attributeless divine takes a form assume some attributes just so that his devotees recognize him, his devotees relish his love, his devotees revel in his presence. And that is what Lord Shiva did. He recreated Vadavarar into Manikya Vasikar. And in fact, when we reflect on that one moment which turned his life forever and left for generations a treasure chest of beautiful compositions, any composition of Manikya Vasikar just connects you instantly with Lord Shiva. In all our lives, we too have these moments. We too have these very, very special life-changing, life-defining moments which recreated us. Maybe the first time we saw Swami, something happened to us. Maybe the first time he came in our dream, we were stunned. Maybe the first time we heard his voice, we were absolutely taken aback. Maybe the first time we read about him, we were so filled with joy that we could not sleep. Maybe the first time we saw his video, we danced in ecstasy. We all have our own Manikya Vasikar moments, our own Shivaguru moments. And when we sing this line, if we can ruminate on those moments which recreated us and filled us with God's love and God's bliss, this line will immediately elevate us. So that is what perhaps is conveyed in this first line, Jai Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha. We move on to the next line.
Parti Purisha Hare Paramesha.
On September 5th, 2015, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, Mr. Ramesh Agraharam, attended the morning bhajan in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir. And after the aarti, he went to the samadhi and he prostrated reverentially. And then even before he could tell anything to Swami, he heard a voice. Clearly it was Bhagwan's voice speaking from the samadhi. And having studied in his college for 7 years, he recognized that beautiful, sweet, soft voice of Bhagwan. And in Telugu, Swami was telling him, keep your luggage ready. 30 of you are going for Kailash Mansarovar Yatra. Kailash Mansarovar is that beautiful mountain in the Himalayas which is associated with Lord Shiva, which the legends tell us is the residence of Lord Shiva. And Ramesh Agraharam knew that it is Swami because it didn't seem like an illusion. It was not a dream. It was not a delusion. Swami spoke exactly how he used to speak to him when he was a student. Swami further said, only 10 of you will be able to do Kailash Parikrama. Only 10 of you will be able to circumambulate the mountain Kailasha. The rest of you will go till Manasarovar. Another thing, Swami continued, take an inhaler with you. When you are doing Kailasha Parikrama, 4 of you will have breathing issues. Your heart rate will go up. At that point, just inhale 2-3 puffs and within 15 minutes, your body will stabilize and then all 10 of you will be able to complete the circumambulation of Mount Kailash. I will take care of everything. This is the voice he heard as he prostrated at the Samadhi at 9:41 a.m. on September 5th, 2015. And Brother Ramesh Agraharam says, frankly, he was totally dazed. He's a frequent visitor to Prashant Nilayam, but he had never before experienced anything like this. And he was so happy because he's been planning for this trip. They are all prepared for this trip, but he didn't know if it was going to happen because they had not yet got the visas from the Chinese embassy. And just as he stepped out of the mandir, his driver came running to him with the phone in the hand saying, there is a call from Chinese embassy. And he took the call and the person at the other end said, your visas have been stamped at 9:42 a.m. Just the next minute, it was done. And so all this group, they meet up in Delhi and they go to Kathmandu. As they reach Kathmandu and they get their visa stamped, and then from Kathmandu, they travel to Nepal Ganj in a small airplane. From there, they had to take a 20-seater plane to Simikot. In those mountainous regions, only such small carriers are allowed. The weather is always dicey. Every flight is a big question mark till the last minute. Even after it takes off, you have no clue what can happen at any moment. Fortunately, their journey had no hiccups till then. From Simikot, they had to fly by helicopter. It was a half-hour ride to Hilsa on the Nepal border. And as they got there, he saw an American pilot and he asked him, "How is the weather? Are we safe?" And this pilot simply said, "Chant Om Namah Shivaya." He said, "Four helicopters have already gone down. So we don't know what is going to happen. I cannot say anything. Once we are airborne, once we are in the air, I have no control. If the wind becomes severe, this chopper will just become a toy in the hands of nature and it can hit the mountain. So all I can tell you is just chant Om Namah Shivaya. If he wills, you will go to Mount Kailash." And so all these devotees, they just did what he said. So they intensely started praying and the helicopter took off. And a chopper can take maximum 5 or 6 people. So it had to be 5 or 6 trips to shift the entire group. Moreover, there was no helipad there. So the pilot lands the vehicle wherever he sees a convenient space. And that day, the climate and wind conditions, to their utter surprise, were so pleasant and so amenable that not only were all the trips absolutely eventful, but the pilot became so carefree and relaxed that he was telling stories about the hills to all these pilgrims. He had never before seen such a clear sky. Happy to ride on such a beautiful day, he started telling them stories. He became a tour guide for all these people. And then all of them got into a bus which would take them straight to Manasarovar. As they alighted, they saw 2-3 groups of people rushing back. And they were all medical emergencies. Apparently, the water in Manasarovar Lake was freezing cold. And anyone being there even for half a minute was becoming numb. Their body was going numb. And that's how there had been 10 casualties that morning. So when these devotees heard these stories, they decided that none of them would actually go into the water for more than 5-10 seconds. But once they reached there and once they saw the lake so clear, so beautiful, so inviting, so divine, they just could not resist touching and going in. Because after all, they had come for this experience. They had come to see this sight and immerse in this beautiful joy of being at Manasarovar. So the group went in. But the most astounding thing happened when the group stepped in. When they put their limbs into the water, wherever they put their limbs into the water, at that point the water was lukewarm. It was unthinkable. It was next to impossible. How is it that the freezing water was just instantly becoming lukewarm? They were just staring at each other, speechless, complete bewilderment, complete awe. How could the temperature change in just a few minutes? They were only singing Swami's bhajans and they're shouting and crying with joy. "Thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami." One person had actually brought with him a collection of 1 to 27 faced Rudrakshas. This was his family's legacy, handed down over generations. It's extremely rare to find a 14-faced Rudraksha, but he had all these Rudrakshas serially, from single-faced Rudraksha to a 27-faced Rudraksha. And it was his desire to offer Abhishekam to those Rudrakshas in the waters of Manasarovar. So all of them did this puja. They chanted Rudram, they did bhajans. And even though they had decided they would not remain in the water for more than 15-20 seconds, they were there in the water for half an hour, for 30 minutes. And they enjoyed the bliss of being at Manasarovar to their heart's content. And finally they did arati to Lord Shiva there and then returned. And after this, just as Swami had indicated, only 10 of them could do the Kailasha Parikrama, the circumambulation of the mountain. And there, just as Swami had indicated, 4 of them had breathing issues and they had taken the puff. So they administered that to them and then they were fine. And they had a wonderful journey to Mount Kailash. The Lord is the Paramesha. He is the great God. He is the master of this creation. When He wills, nature rearranges itself to align with His dynamic will. He is the one who reverberates in every speck of this creation. And it is the same Paramesha who became Pratisha, who decided to descend in this holy land of Puttaparthi, and we call out to him in this line as we sing Parthi Purisha He Paramesha. Let's move on to the next line.
Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha.
Paramadayala means supremely compassionate one. Daya means compassion. Parama is supreme. Pahi Mahesha means protect us. How the Lord takes care of His devotees and lifts His devotees and safeguards His devotees wherever they are is so stunning and so astounding. I was in the village of Tulai in Sulawesi Islands in Indonesia, and one of the devotees there started narrating the story of how Swami has protected him, how for him Swami is everything. He said one day as he was going out of his house, he suddenly felt this urge that he should go and change his trouser. So he went inside, and after he changed his trouser and he started his journey, again there was this strong feeling, no, that he should probably take a jacket. So he went back again, he took the jacket, and then he came back. Then again he started thinking of Swami and began the journey, and again he stopped. There was this urge, no, please go inside and bring your bag. So he goes inside, he brings his bag, he goes for the third time, brings his helmet, and by the time he reached his destination, he was 5 minutes late, and that 5 minutes made all the difference between life and death for him. He escaped a huge explosion by just a couple of minutes. In tears, this person said, I have no words to express my gratitude to this Lord who is there at every millisecond, wherever we are, to protect us, to lift us. Most of the times we don't even realize how He is there protecting us, how He is there to ensure that nothing happens to us which is to our detriment. Because He is the supremely compassionate one. He will do anything for our welfare. That is what is conveyed in Paramadayala Pahi Mahesha. We now come to the last line, and here it is just the culmination of everything that we have said till now. We are only saying victory to Lord Sai, victory to Lord Satya Sai.
Jaya Jaya Satya Sai Sha.
You are the Lord, you are the same one who is Lord Shiva, who is there everywhere, caring for us, protecting us, filling our hearts with love, and ensuring that all the obstacles on the journey of our spiritual progress are eliminated. You are the one who is most auspicious. Shiva means auspiciousness. You are the one who fills us with auspiciousness day in and day out. So that is what is conveyed in this last line. We pray to Him. We say victory to You, O Lord Satya Sai. Dear listeners, we can go on talking about the glory of Sai, the glory of Shiva. We all have to just connect. And this stream of love from our heart will just flow. It will flow like a river wants to meet the sea. Let us now sing this bhajan once again along with the students in Prashanthinilayam. Let us get immersed in this Ganges of Sai bliss.
जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ
गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ
जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ
Parthi Purisha Hare Paramesha Parthi Purisha Hare Paramesha Jaya Gurunatha Shiva Gurunatha Paramadayala
जय जय सत्य साईशा जय गुरुनाथा शिव गुरुनाथा परतिपुरीश हरे परमेश जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ परम दयाला पाहि महेश जय जय सत्य साईश जय जय सत्य साईश जय गुरुनाथ शिव गुरुनाथ
So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to us. Please feel free to send in your emails to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, merciful, beloved Bhagwan.